But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It says, but be ye doers of the word. Read it again. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and then goes away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This scripture is a very well-known scripture. We've read it many times. In fact, very often we quote verse 22 about being doers of the word and not hearers only. Because many times we come to church and God speaks. God doesn't just speak to give us knowledge, but when God speaks, he speaks for life change. And so this scripture is a mindset about why we come to church and why we have the preaching of the word. Is that so that not so we could just hear and be puffed up with knowledge, but that we can be doers of the word. We've got to have this mindset in our lives. So I want to preach tonight. I want to preach, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, speak to us through your word tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers, but we want to also be doers of the word. So I pray, Lord, give someone the boldness and the faith to step out, God, in what you've called for them to do in their life and to be obedient and apply the word to their life. And we'll give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. James chapter 1, verse 22. This is basically an instruction right here with the example, with the graphical example of the instruction. It says that we are to be doers and not hearers. And so that's one thing I learned very quickly with my mum and dad, is when they asked me to do something, they wanted me to be a doer and not a hearer. It wasn't enough for me to say, yes, okay, I'll do that. No, they wanted to make sure that I did it. Anybody know what it's like as a child? They say, I'll do it later, in a moment. No, I want you to be a doer, not just a hearer. And so this is a very, very simple illustration. It's about somebody who looks into a mirror and they see a problem, but they don't do anything about it. Now, when I wake up in the morning, I see lots of problems. I look at my face and I look at my hair and there's hairs all out of place. My eyes are all puffy. There's little bits of sleep in the corners of my eyes. And so this teaching is about somebody who looks in a mirror and sees the problem, but they don't do anything about it. And the whole fact that we look at ourselves in the mirror is so that we can fix up what's not right. Is that correct? Is that correct, everybody? If you don't say yes, I'll just assume that you just like to look at yourself in the mirror. And so the whole idea of looking into a mirror is to see if something is out of place and then to fix it. And so, Brother James, if your hair's out of place, what are you going to do? You're going to fix it. If I look in the mirror on a Sunday morning and my tie is crooked, then I'm going to fix it. And if I got a lump of food on my shirt, I'm not going to come to church with food on my shirt. I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to see that food on my shirt, and I'm going to fix it. Because you look in the mirror to see what's out of place, and the whole purpose of looking in the mirror is so that you can fix it. And the illustration given in James is the exact thing. That when we look into the Word of God, and when we see that something's wrong with our life and that God wants us to change in a certain area and something is crooked or something is out of place, that God doesn't want us to just look into the Word. God doesn't just want us to read the Word and to hear the Word, but He wants us to do the Word. That's the purpose. It's the purpose of coming to church. That we're not just hearers, but we're doers. It's the purpose of reading the Bible. When you wake up in your morning devotion or in your evening devotion, whatever you do, it's the reason we listen to preaching and we have preaching is so that we can look at ourselves in the mirror and God can show us where we are deficient and where things need to change, and so that we just don't hear, but we do what God's word is prompting us to do. And so, when you look in the mirror, you can see where you are now compared to where God wants you to be and where God wants to take you. You see your position in your life in relation to where the word of God says you should be. You can look into the mirror of God's word, and the Bible says it's a two-edged sword. It can delve deep into your heart and expose sin and uncover sin. And the reason God's word does that is so that we can fix it. And so be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we come to church. We spend a lot of time preaching the word. In fact, that's a lot of part of what I do as a pastor is to preach the word. But we're not supposed to come here week after week and to hear just preaching and to walk out and say, well, that was nice, or that was interesting, or that was a good service. But we are to walk out when we're hearing the preaching. We're meant to say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you wanting to me to see through your word? And then we walk out those doors, remembering what God has spoken, but purposing in our hearts that we're not just going to be a hearer, but now it's time to go and do something about that in my life. Ezekiel describes the order of worship for the kingdom temple in Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. And Brother Aaron, I think, read it in our prayer time a couple of weeks ago, maybe even late last year. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. You probably can't read it. It's quite small. But it says, when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in solemn feasts, he that entereth in by way of the north gate. Everybody say the north gate. If you come in the north gate to worship, you shall go out by the way of the south gate. So if you come in by the north gate, you're to leave by the south gate. And he that entereth in by the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. So if you come in by the south, you leave by the north. If you come in by the north, you leave by the south. He shall not return by the way of the gate wherein he came in, but he shall go forth over against it. You will go out of the temple a different way than you came in. Somebody say amen. You see, that's the whole purpose of being here tonight, is that God's word would not just be spoken, that God's word would not just be heard, but that God's word will change our lives so that we don't just come as we are, but we refuse to leave the way, same way that we came. And the Bible says, and the prince in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. And so God forbade the people of his people to leave his house the same way that they came in. What a lesson for us today. And a lot of this just comes down to mindset. When you come to church, sometimes we come to church and we just want to get through the process and to get through the religiosity of coming to church and saying the prayers and singing the songs and hearing the preaching and giving an amen every now and then. But we need to change our mindset and say, God, when I go to church today, God, I need you to speak to me. God, I need your direction in my life. God, I want you to purge out any sin. I want you to show me, God, where I can be a better Christian. I don't want to be just a hearer. I want to be a doer. David in Psalm 122 said this. He rejoiced when he was told. The Bible says in Psalm 122 verse 1, you know it well. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, he rejoiced. He said, we're going to church. And David says, yippee, we're going to church. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But look at verse 9, what it says about when David went into the house of the Lord. It says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Because I went to the house of God, because I heard the preaching of the word, because I was in the presence of God, when I looked into the mirror of the word, when I looked into the mirror of what God was saying to me, now David says, I'm not just happy to be, but when I go out, I'm going to seek thy good. I'm going to seek to do what God has shown me. So we very often hear, come as you are, but I add to that, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. God doesn't want you to leave with the same problems that you came in. God doesn't want you to leave with the same issues that you've been fighting for weeks when you came in. God doesn't want you to leave with the same sin that you walked into this place. Yes, come in as you are, but don't leave as you came. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, quite a long account we're going to read here. You've probably read it before. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It's good if you can turn it in your Bibles. It says, and when he was gone forth, this is about the rich young ruler. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Speaks of desperation, a man running and kneeling and saying, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And the rich young ruler answered and said to him, master, all of these I've done since I was a youth. All of these things I have observed from a young age. Then Jesus, beholding him, after he spoke, Jesus looked at him, he beheld him, and the Bible says, and he loved him. And he said, but one thing, my boy, all these things that you've been doing, obeying the Ten Commandments, he says, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come, take up your cross and follow me. And the rich young ruler, and he was sad at the saying. He dropped his lip. He was throwing a tantrum. I don't know. He was feeling sad at the saying, and he went away grieved. Because why? Why did he go away grieved? Because he had so much stuff. He had to change a lot of things. He had a lot of stuff that he accumulated, and Jesus was saying, you got to get rid of all of that stuff because it's getting in the way of my relationship with you. If you want eternal life, you can't have anything in the way of your relationship with God. You can't have any idols. You can't have any stuff. No other relationship can be in your life except your relationship with God. And so, young man, come as you are. But hey, I love you too much to leave you as you came. I've come to tell somebody tonight that God loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. He wants to save you from yourself. He wants to save you from your sin. So come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Somebody say amen. And so the rich young ruler came asking Jesus. He said, what can I do? And he uses an interesting word. He says, to inherit, to inherit. Now, we know about inheritances. They're things that are just passed down to us. You get them for being in the right family, in inheritance. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was a wealthy man. He was young. His eyes were obviously set on religious matters. He knew the Ten Commandments, and he had lived those commandments since he was young. His eyes were set on teachers, eternal life. He wanted that. He wanted to do good things. He seemed willing to listen. He seemed eager to learn. He seemed to be what we could say was going to be a good Christian. But his story has a dark end. The rich young ruler. Everybody say, rich young ruler. He came running to Jesus. Running, and then he fell on his knees. Now, Jesus beheld him. He says he looked at him and he loved him. Matthew tells us that he was young. How did he get called the rich young ruler? Well, Matthew tells us that he was young. Luke tells us that he was a ruler. Mark tells us that he was rich. So we can call him the rich young ruler. And he came as he was. And at first glance, we might look at this man this rich young ruler, and say, you know what? He's got it all together. He's rich. He's got money. He doesn't lack anything. Look at the car that he drove. He probably wasn't driving a car. He might have been riding a horse. Look at that stallion that he's driving, riding. Look at all the money in his bank account. Look at the clothes that he's got on. Look at those shoes, a pair of Nike Airs or a pair of Reebok Pumps or something like that. And he walked up to Jesus and everybody else would have looked at him and thought, you know what? He's got it all together. He's got a lot of money. And then some of the older people would have looked at that young man and said, you know what? He's got a great future ahead of him. He's already rich and he's still young. His best days are ahead of him. And young people, your best days are ahead of you. Don't waste your youth just waiting till you get old to do something. And so the old people would have been looking at, oh, he's got youth on his side. The young people would have been looking at him and saying, you know what? He's got money on his side. Everybody would have been looking at him and saying, you know what? He's got position on his side. But there was something lacking in his life. And Jesus saw through it all. The Bible says he beheld him. And he loved him. He saw through it all. He had accumulated a lot, but somewhere along his journey, he had heard Jesus teach on eternal life. And through his curiosity, he wanted to see Jesus, and he runs to Jesus. Although he appeared to have much, he lacked everything. Yet his life was full, yet it was so empty. He had financial security, but he was spiritually bankrupt. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's probably the most important question that you could ask. What do I have to do to be saved? And I thank God that in the Bible, we know and we can find out what must we do to be saved. The same question was asked in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached his first message and they preached to the multitude and the multitude said, oh, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter, rising with the keys to the kingdom, the Bible says he had the keys to the kingdom. He had been shown the plan of salvation. And Peter preaches to them. He says, you got to repent of your sin. Be baptized in the name of Jesus and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he asked Jesus, he said, what must I do? And Jesus sees straight away that there's something standing between him and his relationship with God. There's something you've got to deal with in your life, Sonny Jim, before you can even hope to have eternal life. He knew that there was eternal life. You see, that's a really good question. How do I inherit eternal life? But in reality, there's nothing we can do to inherit. But you can put yourself in a position and be obedient so that you can receive the inheritance. We have got no worth of ourselves that we deserve an inheritance of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but Jesus died for us. And if we're willing to repent of our sins, if we're willing to be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we too can receive eternal life. And so, this young man's sin was not against his brother. No, he hadn't murdered somebody. He didn't hate anybody. But it was against God. There was one commandment that he hadn't fully obeyed, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus looked at this man. He said, you know what? There's another God in your life. Oh, what? I thought I had all that covered, Jesus. No. That's why Jesus said, go and sell. You got a lot of stuff, young man. A lot of cool stuff. You've accumulated a lot of things. You're rich, you're young, you're a ruler. All those things that you've got, go and sell all that you've got and give to the poor and then follow me, Jesus says. You see, we're not ready to follow Jesus unless we're ready to be fully committed to him. You see, we can't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to obey all your commandments. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to worship you and to kneel down before you. But God, there's just one thing I can't give you. Let me tell you, yes, come as you are, but God's not going to let you leave the way you came. God knows the issues of your heart. God knows the hindrances in your relationship with him. And God wants to deal with those things. Even tonight, as the preaching of the word has come forth, God is convicting us in our hearts of the things that stand between us and our relationship with God. And yes, you may have come in with that, but God doesn't want you to leave with that. And so he said, young man, go and deal with those gods in your life. Go and sell your possessions. It was obvious for this young man that possessions and things and material things had got in the way of his relationship with God. Jesus says, hey, sonny, there's something that is standing between you and your relationship with me, and it's got to go. And so selling everything. Does selling everything save a sinner? No. Does giving to the poor save somebody? No. I mean, they're good things to do. Following Jesus and just doing what Jesus does, that doesn't save a sinner either, just imitating Jesus. Because that would be nothing more than religion and process. And this man had to get rid of his God. This man had to get rid of his idols and then fully commit himself to follow Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. And so you must love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your mind. Be willing to get rid of those other things that are just distractions in your relationship with God. And so this text tells us, sadly, that this man went away sorrowful and grieved. He went away the same man that he came in. Yes, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. When you look into the Word of God, it's like looking into a mirror, or so it should be. Don't be one of those people that read the Word of God and you get to something, oh, I don't want to see that. Let's get past that. I don't want to deal with that in my life. Let's get to the love stuff. Okay, oh, there's something else there, and we don't want to look at the things, but when we read God's word is exposing our heart and showing us. You don't want to be like that person that looks in the mirror and then walks away and doesn't do anything about what they see. And so I ask you tonight, what is God trying to deal with in your life today? Jesus said, young man, you know the commandments. He said, yeah, I've kept them all from my youth. He then wonders, he said, well, what else do I lack, Jesus? I mean, I've done all that. And Jesus doesn't say, well, you've arrived, son. Jesus didn't say, well done, no. He said, no, there's something you've got to deal with in your life. You can come here as you are, but I love you too much to let you go as you came. And so he answers this young man and he tells him, go and sell, give it away. And that is what God wanted to do in this rich young ruler's life. That's what God wanted to do. There was some idols. There were some things. And so I ask you, maybe not tonight, but what has God been speaking to you about? What are the things, as you've heard the preaching of the word, as you've read your Bible, as you've prayed, as you've felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, what has God been speaking to you about? Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. And so God wanted to do something in this rich young ruler's life. God wants to do something in our life. If Jesus had been talking to Nicodemus instead of the rich young ruler, he would have said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, get rid of your fear of the opinion of the Pharisees. You know, you're too worried about what other people think about you, those Pharisees. If he had been speaking to King Agrippa, he would have, instead of the rich young ruler, he would have said, King Agrippa, you know what? You're almost persuaded. You're almost persuaded. You're not fully committed. You're almost persuaded. It's time for you to get fully persuaded and to give your life to me, King Agrippa. If he would have been speaking to Pontius Pilate instead of the rich young ruler, he would have said, Pontius Pilate, stop washing your hands and wash your life in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it was the riches that this was standing in the way of this young man's relationship with God. I ask you today, what is it that's standing in the way of your relationship with God? And what is God wanting to do in your life? We've got to be careful of coming here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and becoming desensitized to the ministry of the Word and the power of the Word. You know, sometimes we can come here and just not even pay attention, and then next, and God is speaking. God is speaking, God is speaking, God is speaking, and we've just become so desensitized that we can't even hear what God's saying anymore. If that's you, then you're backslidden. You need to get back to God and say, I don't want to just hear. I don't want to be puffed up with knowledge. But God, I want you to work in my life. One of the most fearful things I ever saw a young person say to me, they said, Pastor, I came to church and now I can't feel anything. I can't feel anything. I said, what do you mean? I said, I used to come to church as wicked and as sinful as I was, but I used to walk into church and I could feel God speaking. I could feel God convicting my heart. I could feel God speaking to me. And they said, and just recently I've been coming to church and now I can't feel anything anymore. I said, what can't you feel? It doesn't feel like God's speaking to me. I feel comfortable now in my sin. And they had fear written all over their face. I said, you've become desensitized to the power of the Word of God. You've been coming to church too long and God has been speaking to you and speaking to you. And now your ears are deaf to His voice. We must not just be hearers of the Word. We've got to be the doers of the Word. Don't get into the routine of just hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And this young man went away, holding his destiny in his hands, having the power to say yes or no, and he turned his back on Jesus Christ. As soon as Jesus wanted to deal with the real issue, he lost interest. His eagerness was gone. His enthusiasm was cooled off. He's like, why? Why was it? The Bible tells us why. Not because he had one possession. He's like, well, Jesus, I got great possessions. I got too much to lose. And so he left the same way he came. He had been concerned to keep the commandments, yes, but he was more concerned to keep his cash. He bent his knee, yes, before Jesus, but he would not bend his will. He bowed his head in worship before Jesus at his feet, but he would not bow his heart. He wanted heavenly treasures, but he was not willing to give up the earthly treasures. And this young man, the Bible says, went away grieving. He went away sorrowful. And Jesus, what did Jesus do? Did he chase him? The Bible doesn't say he chased him. Jesus let him go. He didn't say, wait and come back. I'll compromise. I'll meet you halfway. You can keep some stuff. Jesus said, no, just let him go. Perhaps this was the young man's only mistake, that he went away the same way that he came. Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. To be hearers of the word, not just doers. Don't be somebody that looks into the mirror and sees what God wants to do, but refuses to do it. Let's ask the musicians to come now. God is speaking to someone. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. I wonder tonight, because this message really is the end of a message. It's not the sort of message that I would typically preach, because, you know, we're going to call at the end of a service, we're going to call for a response to what was already preached. And so I haven't preached about anything specifically, maybe in telling the story of the rich young ruler. I've preached about having things in our life, idols and things that take the place of God and become distractions and get in the way of our relationship with God. Maybe that is the part of the message that you've heard, because we've talked about the rich young ruler. But I believe God is speaking a lot more than just about the idols that we may have accumulated in our life and the distractions. As I was preparing, I was struggling with that. I was saying, God, well, what do you actually want me to preach about? Because this message I've got is the ending to a sermon. It's not the content. But I'm reminded that every single one of us have been to church many times and God has spoken to us. And maybe that still small voice is saying, remember what I talked to you about? Brother, you still haven't paid attention to that. My daughter, as God would say, remember you were in church and God spoke so clearly about that thing in your life, you still haven't done anything about it. It's kind of like the same voice that would have come to the prodigal son as he was out in the pig pen. And the words of God would have kept coming back. Go back home. Go back home. Come on, you're in the wrong place. Go back home. And it's the same voice that's speaking tonight. God has been speaking to you about things in your life, and I've come just to put a stamp on the end of it and say, don't just be a hearer. It's time to be a doer. And so what has God been dealing with you in your life? What is the next step that you've got to take in your relationship with God? What things do you have to cast aside? What things have you got to change? Maybe it's you tonight that God is speaking to, just like he spoke to the rich young ruler. Yes, you can come to Jesus as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Let's lift our hands all across this place. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh God, we don't want to just be hearers of the word, but Lord, we want to be doers of the word. We thank you for your word tonight, oh God, which has spoken to us. Thank you, Lord, for the mirror of your word, oh God, that we can see clearly, oh God, where we lack, and God, where we've got to work, oh God, and where we've got to cast some things aside. We thank you, Lord, that your word is like a searchlight from heaven, oh, searching our hearts, exposing our sin, oh God. And so, Lord, let us not just leave the same way that we came in, but Lord, we want to change. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 148 that the Lord is nigh, the Lord is close to all of them that call upon him. And when that young man fell on his knees and worshiped Jesus and called upon him, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. But still, that it wasn't enough to change him. Let me tell you tonight that Jesus is looking and is loving. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to leave some things at this altar tonight and say, God, I got to leave that behind. I got to change my attitude. Maybe God's dealing with you from the sermon this morning. Oh God, I got to forgive that person. I can't keep going with this bitterness anymore. Oh God, I got to leave it behind. This altar is open. You want to come bow the knee. I encourage everybody to be at this altar tonight. Come. We've got something there we've got to lay before the Lord, and we've got to leave it there so that we can leave the different the way that we came. Hallelujah.